This is the racing symphony coursing through your veins. This is the house that Speed built. This is the LTV Sportscast. And now your host, Leighton.
Welcome, sports fans, to another episode of the LTV Sportscast. We return for MotoGP. It is the start of the season. It is Qatar 2022 at the Lascelles International Circuit. Joining us today, YouTuber, MotoGP extraordinaire, Rob Catalano. Rob GP, how are you doing, my man? How are things your side of the world? Well, I believe we just actually literally lost connection to Rob right at the beginning of our show, but we're going to get him right back. Rob, are you back? I see we lost connection.
What a time to drop out.
Unbelievable. It false almost start. Feels like you're a false start, having a little bit of a rinse of last season at the beginning of this season. And it's because you didn't back him. I watched your projection video, and if you guys haven't watched Rob's projections on YouTube yet, I will link that in the show notes. So make sure you watch that. But I believe if you are listening right now, there's a good chance it's because you have watched Rob's videos and you have made it through in our direction. Rob, welcome to the show. How are things all in 2022 for you? It's crazy. We've gone from COVID to a world at war. Well, a lot of talking and then more of an invasion. It's chaos, my man. Chaos. And it's not the good kind of chaos. How are things your side?
Good, mate. I mean, I personally, I can't complain, to be honest. Everything's hunky-dory over here. So, it's just shit going on everywhere, isn't there?
But yeah, you say so. Again, because we literally just spoke right before the show and before Rob put us on hard time, yeah, for his double booking. But it's life in the fast lane, life of a celebrity YouTuber. We're just talking about Shane Warne, the passing of Shane Warne, man. And that's, again, it's another son of international sport that we have lost. And it's just really sad, man. It's crappy. I don't know how to say that.
It was one of the shock ones, wasn't it? So you get these every now and then, I suppose. But and like I was telling you, I was only just watching that documentary the other week for Shane Warne, and then all of a sudden, you know, this happens. So it's funny how these things work. But big shock, and a bit devastated today, to be honest. And I'm sure most Australians and cricket fans would be. It was a mega star of the time.
I remember, if you had to go back, and what was that, the ball of the century? I'm pretty sure it landed on quite a hefty crack to get that much turn, but that man rolled that wrist quite a bit. So a lot of,
and it sort of just set his career up. Did everything went that way for him after that?
Yeah, well, it kind of had to. I know what you're thinking right now, if you're a listener, because I'm in South Africa, and if you heard the sound of cop cars in the background, no, that is coming out of Manchester, England, and not in sunny South Africa, where our crime rate is exponentially higher. It's because our police don't operate. They don't come until after the things are done. So anyway, okay. So Rob, I know you're pressed for time, and I know the listeners. Obviously, there is so much to talk about. So I'm going to quickly want to talk about a few things before we get into Qatar, before we get into the fantasy MotoGP. And I just want to make sure, guys, if you are listening right now, girls, if you are listening, because again, last season we did have Amanda from America with Racing Tulips. Now I see there is already an American in our pods bragging rights leg, which is Kids Are Mean. Yes, they are. I don't know who that is. So Amanda, if that's you, touch base with us again so we know, because Rob fell to your sword last season, and I ended up winning last season out of our bragging rights league. I was 300 and something in the world at the end of it. I'm trying to think. Jeremy was also top 1,000. How did you do? Where did you finish?
It's not about who wins and loses.
Yes, it is. That's everything. It's always about
having fun and taking part. And
you won a participation medal. Mediocrity. Yes, celebrate mediocrity. No, it's cool, Rob.
Isn't that what we're doing these days? So that's what I'm gonna go with it.
That's what we sell to the children when we're mediocre parents. Because heaven forbid we actually want them to achieve things in life. Yeah, you're right. Because like also that in MotoGP, it doesn't matter whether you're falling off the bike or whatnot. It's just, you just got to be there, man. You just got to have a good time. Nothing's important in this world. Nothing must be taken seriously. Okay. So fourth last season and didn't make top 1,000, eh?
No. Only suckers don't make the top 1,000.
That's right, sucker. Listen, it's going to change the season for you. I had two out of my three boosts didn't work. Three out of three for you. So things are going to change. Like 24 riders again this season. So first time we have that in how many years? Rob, have I lost you there again?
So yeah, it's falling a bit behind there. I'm just going to try and get the missus to stop watching Netflix.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. I'm going to quickly hit pause on our chit chat, and we'll be right back. So Rob, we're recording again. Don't apologize. Look, it must be first world problems. You're in the third world. We don't have internet problems the way you have problems. We have power problems. So when something goes off, it goes off for hours.
I think the roof of my building must be made of lead or something.
Well, that way Superman can't look in. Talking about Superman, red flag races, completely different from each other. Red flag races now effectively when the leader crosses the line as opposed to the lap before. So that is the two big rule changes that I can remember that I did take note of. Oh, Rob, I know I wanted to talk about it. I think we will, but maybe we're going to park the bus on this one just purely because we're getting to the first episode of the new season. And next one, I tell you what, let's talk about the differences between inline fours and V4s and the effects of that on MotoGP as it is, including the ride height devices. I would like to go into that because I actually think that the inline fours will die out. And that was until I saw Suzuki actually get a monster power gain from an inline four, which was surprising in itself. And that will be the Qatar, the two practice sessions at Qatar so far. However, let's just quickly talk mentioning Suzuki. Luvio Super, what do you think? Man to team manager again for the first time in two seasons?
Yeah, I think he's definitely the right man for the job if you are Suzuki. Other than bringing back Brivio.
When he doesn't want to come back.
No, apparently that was still hopeful until about until about a week and a half ago from what I heard in the coverage today. So, I mean, short of that, who are the other big names in the paddock that you can look for? I mean, it's him, isn't it? And a record of being able to deliver world titles. And more importantly, I think, is deliver riders to teams when they, you know, when a factory says, we want top riders, he seems to be able to go get them. So, big signing.
Yeah, you're talking about, we're just mentioning that Casey Stoner on Ducati, he got it done with Ducati, he got their title, and then he went 7 years in Honda where he won five titles. So he knows how to get the job done, 100% correct what you are saying. And then on top of that, the other thing that you point on, and this is probably the biggest problem Yamaha have, is getting riders. I think they're blessed that they actually have Morbidelli and Quartararo, but I do think they're going to go somewhere else unless that team starts to develop better, because it looks like out of all the big teams, they've made the smallest step forward.
Yeah, it's, a lot of the natural instinct here is when you look at who's improved and when you think they haven't improved as much as everyone else, is to sort of think that they're just not going to be good. And I think a lot of people are thinking that, but at the end of the day, it's a world championship winning bike to start with. So their improvement doesn't need to be as big, if that makes sense, to sort of stay at the top.
Well, second half of the season though, weren't they behind a little?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they didn't perform well on all tracks.
But it still is a good package, I think. And I think it's still going to be strong where it is strong. And I think when they get, I mean, like, this is going to be a big test for them, Qatar, because it's a circuit they usually are really good at and they've always had good results there. So if they don't quite get it there, then probably be a little worried. But I'm going to try and not panic on behalf of them, if that makes sense, and sort of just wait to the end of Sunday and see where they end up. Because, I mean, I think come tomorrow afternoon, Quattaro will probably find something like he always does on a Saturday, and Morbidelli was consistently quick today. So I think that's decent signs for them. But, yeah, they certainly have lost touch possibly with the likes of a Suzuki and stuff like that.
And then Suzuki with Luvio Supo, and I think it's going to be one season max, then we're going to see a satellite team come in for them. And I think they need it. As soon as you add a satellite team, their data pool from where they can extrapolate information doubles immediately. They go from two riders effectively to four riders on an engine, on a bike. They can share so much more information. So the development that can be done there. So again, they've pulled out horsepower out of the inline four now for this season, which is really surprising. And I actually saw them, I think they topped the speed trap times in both practice sessions.
Yeah. I think so. I think it was Rins, wasn't it?
Rins, yeah.
I didn't see the speed trap for the second session, but the first session it was definitely fastest, I think. So
355.2 in both is what he went.
I'd be really curious to know how much of that is just pure getting more power out of the engine and how much is it like an improvement of their little like squat device that they've got. But either way, I mean, and we probably should have seen this coming because it was one of those ones where they were even testing the 2022 engine in 2021 preseason testing. So I don't know if there was any other manufacturers doing that. I mean, there may have been, but
Honda did it, Misano.
Yeah. So, but the fact that they were doing it in preseason last year, maybe they knew what they were. Yeah. So, I think Guintoli tested it in preseason last year. So that's, it's certainly, I don't know why. I mean, maybe it shouldn't have been a surprise knowing that, but I mean, it still kind of was today watching, was it Rins or Mir just power past one of the Ducatis down the straight in second session
I
there?
I think Mir was in a slip. I think it was Rins that was in the slip and he pulled. Yeah, but the Suzuki is looking amazing. Amazing. Yeah,
and usually they wouldn't be able to even pull out of a slipstream there, so, you know.
Yeah, they were chowed all of last season. They were just eaten up, like bikes just went past them and feel like they were standing still. Yeah, I know. So,
well, Qatar last year was the big one, wasn't it, when Mir came out of that last quarter in second and ended up fourth.
Yeah, that was a hurder. That was a hurder. Now that we are talking about Qatar, and one last thing. Does Ducati have too many bikes on the track?
Well, from a spectator, like, sporting point of view, I'd like to see it spread. Like, I mean, the ideal thing, and I think Dawn has spoken about it before, is where every team has a factory and a satellite. Instead of one team having eight bikes, one team having fours, a team having two. Yeah. So, I think it would be better spectating, I guess, if there was a more balanced approach to it. But I mean, if you've got the best bike and you put the best bike together and everybody wants your bike and you're happy to supply it to everybody, then, you know, that's on you, I guess. Well done.
Yeah. And last point before we get the season started, I know we'll talk about it a little bit more throughout the season. How do we feel about winglets on the bike, on the front of the bike? When I say how do you feel? I know exactly.
Well,
how you feel.
I think they. I obviously think they look better without them. I like the classic look of a bike and this kind of bike you'd be able to buy and ride around yourself. But you know, you're not going to go buy yourself a CVR 1000 with winglets on the front of it. It's not really.
Exactly what people are going to do.
Yeah, well, I suppose maybe you could add winglets for like, you know, an add-on, maybe make a bit more money.
The Kawasaki H2R, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, but, you know, it's technology and it's, you know, aerodynamics coming into the sport in a way that we haven't really seen before. And, you know, if it makes them go quicker. But what's interesting is, again,
it doesn't make them go quicker. It allows him to brake later, which is the reason why we have so many
lap time.
quicker lap time. So there's so many arm pump issues because of the braking later, the strain that goes through the arm. So aesthetically, I think they're terrible looking. The front of the Ducati, which is arguably the most beautiful bike, production bike that you can buy, for I would say everyday use. Let's say everyday use. If you decided to use a superbike as your daily commuter, the Ducati is probably the most beautiful bike you can buy. But the wings on the front of the bikes, and I tell you, man, it's bad enough that Aprilia have got that airplane wing looking thing.
There's an F1 front wing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely an F1 wing.
And then Ducati's got these three hole block type things in the front. Oh, it's disgusting. And the only one that actually makes it look half good is the Hondas. And they've gone through a massive, massive overhaul. And for me, and I know we spoke it about in the predictions, we might as well get into the predictions now, because you had your chance to speak, and I'm just going to point out that predictions, team number one, team that finishes the championship on top, the kind of the winning team is ultimately going to be the Honda. The winning constructor, I think, will be Ducati by the sheer numbers of it. And then, I mean, if you had to, I think Suzuki are going to be surprisingly good this season, which does tend to, when you look at the fantasy, at the cost of Suzuki, you start going, hey, that's not bad. But then they also only have two riders. So Honda is going to win it for me, for the best team. I think Paul's got enough quality, and well, Mark can probably win every race if he felt like it.
Yeah, I agree. I obviously, like, you'd have seen my prediction video, and yeah, I went in a different direction, and I still will kind of stick by that. I mean, after today, but I mean, it's only the first Friday of the season, isn't it? Ducati just look like they're still
sandbagging,
playing a little bit of catch up here. Yeah, well,
I think could be sandbagging.
I was thinking that as well.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, you look from free practice one to free practice two. There was, I think, free practice one, there wasn't a single Ducati in the top 10, was there?
No, there was not. Martin would have been, what, 11th or 12th as the top rider.
Yeah, and then he was all of a sudden in free practice two, which they say they don't believe free practice three will have faster times than free practice two. And already, you know, you change, and you've got Jorge Martin, you've got Jack Miller, and you've got Pecco Bagnaia coming in fourth, sixth, and 10th, followed by Bastianini in 11th. All of a sudden, you know, the Ducatis are there, and you can expect them to be more involved, but I don't think they're going to. I think they got a head start on everyone last season with that whole shot device, with the ride height device. It all just worked out for them. Theirs was just better, and the other team's player had to play catch up. And now if everyone's got it,
and everyone's got a good one, then instead of just people sort of just slapping something on there just to try and have one, you know. It's an interesting one, where, especially with the decision they've taken on the engine selection and everything, with the factory riders running the, like, a hybrid 21-22 engine. It's a weird one, because, like, you just expect, I think we always expect that was just going to be the best bike. And it's just whether, you know, Honda could make something quick enough for Mark to go and win on, or Yamaha could put something out there that was quick enough for Fabio to go and win on, and then that was probably what was going to upset the Ducati dominance. But we've ended up in a completely different situation, I suppose. Mm. But again, you know, it could be one thing here, and we can go to the next race, which I think is Indonesia, isn't it?
Mandalika, where they tested a couple of weeks ago.
And the testing times there were all over the place, so who knows what we're going to get there.
Honda was strong. Honda was strong. Yamaha was actually surprisingly really good over there in Mandalika. Okay. So, with that being said, both Quartararo and Morbidelli were showing a lot of pace. So, but yes. It's going to be very interesting. Best rider for me for the season, hands down. Now, I know you're a Rossi fan, and I know it hurts that Rossi is not there anymore. And I supported Rossi for years, but there's no doubt in my mind that the greatest bike handler, MotoGP rider in history that will go down. And I was fortunate enough to watch a bunch of them. I got to watch McDowell doing his thing. I got to watch Wayne Rainey and all those guys. And I got to watch Rossi do his thing. But nobody does what Mark does, realistically.
You know, I'm always just going to back Casey Stoner in the natural rider contender category.
I disagree with you, but you heard when Casey spoke, he was like, he hated racing days. He liked time trial. He liked to push the bike to the limit. Racing days came and you needed to manage this. You need to do this. And I don't dispute that he could have gone down to be the greatest, but there's something that he suffered from chronic fatigue and all kinds of other things. He didn't have the longevity of a time-honored champion. You know what I mean? He will always be amazing. But again, and I saw it last season with the interviews, and I don't know if I spoke to you, I spoke to Jay at the time, and I was like, listen, just watch that man do an interview. When Mark talks in an interview, he is wired, he is engaged, those eyes are, they're burning for victory. And then, I mean, obviously maybe it's the new guys, the young guys, and maybe it's things I don't always understand. Maybe it's the, let's all just get along. Fabio was so calm and chilled, and Pecco was so calm and chilled, and they're so friendly with each other, and Mark is just like, he wants to go out there and he wants to win. That's what he wants to do. He wants to ride the bike, and he talks quickly, and his eyes are just,
well, he's still from that sort of mentality when you had to try and beat Rossi, wasn't it? So those guys were all like that a little bit.
He didn't try, though.
Because, well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because obviously Rossi would try and he'd kick you off your bike if you had to, like,
100%.
You know, anything. And so he came through. But then these guys, you know, they didn't quite get that. It's weird because I'm just saying it like it's like he dictated everyone's attitudes, which is not obviously the case. But it's just a different shift, isn't it? When the Fabios, Pecos came through, it was kind of Rossi wasn't doing that. It was just Marquez just dominating on his own, wasn't it? So Dovi there, I suppose, but there was a bit more respectful between them two than whatever it was whenever it was like, you know, Lorenzo Stoner, Rossi, Gibernau, Biaggi, and all those guys from the earlier.
Biaggi. So. Yeah, I haven't heard that name in years. There's a friendly guy, old Max. He liked other people lots.
Yeah, he's got his own team there. Don't he? Running that team in Moto3, I think it is.
It's different when you're off the bike. It's different when you're off the bike. But I suppose behind closed doors, the fire doesn't die down that quickly. That fire burns eternal. Burns eternal. Best rookie for the season. Best rookie for the season. Sure. It's going to be a tough one to pick because I was almost sure, and I was looking at what's the Grassini boy's name?
DiGianantonio,
and I was thinking that's possibly going to be the way to go. However, I think KTM have got something. I think KTM have got something there this season, which might just push Remy Gardner to be best rookie. I think I told you last season. I kind of get the feeling Ralph Hernandez has a little bit of the Maverick in him as well. And if the head's not right, we've seen what happens. I mean, look, you can win a championship purely by just having the right head. Case in point, Jean Mir in his winning season and Fabio Quartararo after getting, you know, that great start and then just grinding out results throughout the season, you know, never panicking, never fearing, that, you know, it was all going to fall apart. He looked in control even when he wasn't. I don't think Ralph Hernandez is going to come up there and be in control. I think he will be faster than Remy Gardner in races. And, you know, that's going to happen. But, you know, he's ultimately a faster rider. It's like the way that Rins is a faster rider than Mir. He just won't have that same consistency. And that's going to play part in. And I think Remy Gardner actually lands up taking rookie of the season, which was surprising for me to say those words, because I was almost 100% sure it was going to be Giannantonio. But it is what it is. I'll call it what it is. I'd love it to be Darren Binder.
I was going to say, you're not backing Darren Binder in.
I don't back him because of the bike. I'm not sure about the bike. That is ultimately the call. That's going to be my reason why I don't think he can do it. He's just Remy Gardner, Ralph Hernandez, they've been on KTMs, they've been with KTM, they move up with KTM. You're telling me that they've never got on a MotoGP bike in one way or another? Or
they did do a test last year once they'd both signed on, I think. So they have been on it before, even last season.
Yeah.
Mid-season kind of thing.
And Darren Binder's like, welcome to, here you are. hop onto the Yamaha, which is actually a really good bike to start on. Again, we didn't speak about the inline fours, but the smoothness of an inline four engine, it's an easier bike to ride, although it does generally lack the power of the 90-degree V4s that we are seeing. Okay, so Qatar, 4.5 kilometers long. It is a lovely circuit at Lascelles. It's a MotoGP circuit. We love it. Six left corners, 10 right, and with a kilometer straight. I mean, what more can you ask for? This, and we start underneath the lights, the sparkling down onto the bikes. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
We get to see how good they look straight away, don't we?
Exactly. And then we go, but not in the first practice session or what will be free practice three in the middle of the desert, you know, with the sand going. It's like, oh, it's all just crappy.
It does look a bit bland during the day, doesn't it? Definitely needs to be a night race.
Bland is a compliment. Yeah. No, it has to be a night race. The circuit looks terrible. I mean, it's made to be a night race. You're looking at when it's in the middle of the day, you see all these light poles around it, but none of the lights is on. So it's like, okay, maybe they should just take the light poles away, but you know what I mean? Anyway, so that is what it is. So let's get into it. MotoGP this weekend, is Suzuki, based on what we're looking at out of the first two practice sessions, and more specifically Rins. Rins came right at the end of last season. He started to stay on top of his bike. And when we start to look at that, and if we don't mind, we can talk about that with fantasy. Rins comes in at 600,000 less than Jan Mir. And he is a race winner. And he's fast.
Yeah. Well, I've always said Rins, I always thought was it's obvious he's the quicker of the two. But again, I backed him in so hard last season, and then it was like, I think it was like four crashes in the first like six races or something like that, something stupid like that. Mm. And it was done before it even started. So,
I remember.
I mean,
it was beautiful.
He could take pole tomorrow. He could take pole tomorrow and lead 2/3 of the race. And because it's Alex Rins, you just don't know what's going to happen in that last third of the race.
If it wasn't last season, it was the season before.
Well, the season before was that the 2020 season.
2020.
So what was the season where he won those couple of races? He was excellent.
2020.
So yeah, that off the back of that, I thought he was going to be a real title hope last season. And he just, he disappointed me so much. I can't even speak his name when it comes to like potential winners for this season. But again, like if off back of what we've seen now, would he not go into tomorrow as one of the favorites to poll?
2020, the year where, when you were looking at a Pecco Bagnaia, did you see him going from what he was to going to championship contender?
No, I didn't. I think the natural progression there was for Jack to be the next big one for them, wasn't it? So, and it kind of flipped a little bit, but
yeah, let's put it this way:
because he was still coming up through the satellite team, wasn't he?
Yeah, but both of them were on. None of them was on a factory Ducati, were they?
Jack and Pecco, no, they weren't.
They were both on Pramac.
They're both Pramac, yeah. They came up together.
And Jack finished sixth in the season on 132 points. In that same season, how many points do you think? How many points do you think Pecco Bagnaia got? He'll remember he had full season as well.
I think he was a fair way off from memory. That's why I didn't
47 points, Guy.
Yeah.
He finished 16th in the championship. And he went from that to finishing second in the championship last year and beating Jack by 60-odd points.
Hmm.
So if we're going to – one season doesn't necessarily define people. You look at the end of the 2020 season where Fabio Quartararo just fell off from leading the championship, opening the – winning the first two races and then just – deciding, hey, he's checking out. He's, I think he got, this is how he ended the season. Seven amount of points, 7082.02.
Yeah, he absolutely capitulated.
Now, do you think, and then again, we look at that and you go, like, listen, does Fabio even have a chance of winning, the 2021 season when you looked at the way that ended? And the answer again was no. So do you really think you can write Rins off because of one bad season?
No, and I never would normally say that, but I just don't know with Rins. It's just, I don't know if it was something sound for me last year. But, I mean, again, at the moment, he looks the most dangerous man on the track. So, I mean, it kind of would point to that he's going to be really strong this year. And he's actually, if that bike is that good come tomorrow afternoon and then Sunday, and he's also as good in, you know, 75% of the other circuits, they're 100% title challenges. And like we always say, he's quicker than Mir. So all the ingredients are there for him to have a real tilt at the title.
Okay. Will you change your fantasy team before qualifying? You have to. No. You cannot commit like that. I think you need to start to put I tentatively am going to make this decision. You're making balls to the wall decisions. Yeah, and
on like
it's Monday, it's madness.
Before it's madness. The Grand Prix.
No. I know. You have
I'm trying to think of what I would change now. I mean,
what would you change now?
I would probably look to change. I mean, I've got Raul Fernandez in there. I'd probably change that. And maybe, I mean, I've got Bagnaia, Bastianini, Fernandez, and Morbidelli. What would you change?
You've got Bagnaia, Bastianini, and Morbidelli. I take out Bastianini.
I was thinking I'd remove Bastianini and Fernandez, and I'd try and work something with those two to bring some others in. But
let me tell you what my team is looking at currently, like right now, at this very moment right yep. now. I have my race winner, Marc Márquez, obviously, right? He's going to start the season. He's going to win like 10 Grand Prix in a row.
That's why I've gone with Honda to sort of cover that a little bit.
It's an excellent decision because I have Honda as well. So you and I on this. Trust me, I think I know what I'm doing. I got lucky one season. There's no reason I can't get lucky twice. Okay. So I got Marc Márquez and Alex Rins as my gold riders with Honda.
Yep.
Silver riders, Franco Morbidelli and Jorge Martin. And the change that I might make, if I am to make a change right now, would be to drop Morbidelli for Paul Espargaró.
Yeah, and I think that would be very smart as well. Well, yeah, but also, like, I think Morbidelli's going to have a good weekend. So
I do too. I think a lot of people forgot, and you mentioned it, how good he was towards the that 2020 season. I think he finished that season. I think his last four races was he finished first. He finished somewhere crappy in Valencia, the first race. The second race, Valencia, he won. And then I think he finished fourth in Portimao. So in the last couple of races, there was no one that outscored him in the last four races. He was the top scorer in the last four races. He finished second in the championship behind Jan Mir and ahead of Alex Rins. So
he was unreal. He was unreal that year.
And that was in a place where Fabio Quartararo at the beginning of the season looked like, oh, Fabio's going to dominate because he went victory, victory, and then he trailed off, where Morbidelli was 11, he got 11 points and he got nothing. Then he finished second in a race and he got nothing. Then he got 1 point. Then he won a race. So he actually won three races in that season. Then walk into last season, he's on the crappy bike, SRT Yamaha.
Yeah, SRT. Yeah, but it was he didn't even get a newer spec bike. He was still on the same bike that he finished the last season with.
Exactly,
which is remarkable. It's remarkable that decision when you look back now.
Yeah, it borders on pure stupidity. I mean, the first thing that they should have done was kick out Maverick at the beginning, because for obvious reasons. And I feel for Aprilia, and I feel for the Aprilia supporters, because I know Aleix Espargaró is going to smash Maverick Viñales.
Smash him.
Inconsistency. But, and I know you had it in your show, I think. Was it in your show, first time winner of a Grand Prix?
Yeah, I had
You had Aleix winning.
Yeah.
The saddest part about that is the person who's going to win for Aprilia first is going to be Maverick.
Yeah, he'll get to one circuit where it all clicks for him, and when that happens, he just wins the race.
But that's it. It will happen for Maverick before it happens for Aleix, but Aleix will smash him in terms of consistency. But then Maverick will do what he does. He'll surprisingly have so many points, and you think to yourself, like, where does he get it from? How is he that close to Aleix? It's because he'll have really good results.
You'll still be like, geez, he's been disappointing this year. And you'll be like, oh, wait, he's like level on points. All right, sweet.
Exactly. So we're going to see that's going to happen with the Aprilias. I do think that Maverick will be good in some races. But then again, Aleix will be more consistent throughout the season. So that is a nice way to look at things. Now the question is, and I know we haven't really spoke about it, Ducati main team, Jack Miller, hasn't signed till 2024 like Pecco has. What does that mean for Jack? Where's Jack's head at? Because Jorge Martin is going to be the man breathing down his neck. Bastianini wants a seat as well. What's happening at Ducati?
I think they, as much as I hate to say it, because I just think I'd love to see Jack spend a few years there and see what he can do. But I think they probably didn't expect to have this many young, talented guys coming up this quickly. And I think they're almost, I reckon they'd be about 70% decided on they're probably going to want to go for Martin for next season. I mean, and it's up to Jack now to actually make himself undroppable in a sense.
Mm. Bastianini's 2022 bike as well, isn't he? 2022 spec. I think so.
I don't know. I thought he might be on a 21, but I don't actually know for sure. Yeah, so if he's on a 2022 spec and then you've got both Pramac on a 22 spec with a 22 engine. Mm. I think that they're probably already lining that up. And it's literally on Jack to have to, basically has to finish ahead of Pecco in the championship. Otherwise, they're not going to re-sign him, I don't think.
I think you're right. I think he's got immense pressure on him. A team that feels like they've taken a step back, they do so much work for so little gains, I think it has been KTM. I'm not entirely sure what I would expect from KTM. I think their satellite team is better than, you know, the Yamaha satellite team, and possibly better than, and that's the only reason is because Grishini, Giantonio with the Grishini Racing, he isn't getting a 2022 spec, as far as I understand. I think that kind of levels are filled with them and then the KTM Tech 3, but the KTM, main KTM team, I don't know, man. I just don't see it happening for them. I think that was my comment also on your predictions. I think that was one of the swaps that I wanted to make. They had a terrible preseason testing. They've come in, yes, free practice one, like out of nowhere, Brad Binder arrives and he pumps in a lap to take the quickest time. You know, albeit 600 tenths of a second faster than Miguel Oliveira. That being said, I think by the time the second practice session came around, it was back to the same old Oliveira's faster in the practices. It will be probably faster in the qualifying. And Brad is just, he's just decided to take off free practice too. And again, maybe are we reading too much into the first practice sessions? Tell me, where am I going wrong here? Am I not seeing something?
I mean, it's so hard, especially at the moment. I mean, like you said, KTM got Brent just tops the session just to start the season, but they don't actually look that strong. And it's a weird one because until last season where they just made all those gains, and you're like, they're there now, they're right on the edge, like probably expecting them to do what Aprilia's done now, whereas though Aprilia's done it and they kind of haven't, where Aprilia look quite decent now. At least a bike that can consistently ride around in the top sort of 6, 7, 8.
Mm.
And I mean, you say all this with, you know, the caveat that Binder's finished last season 6th in the championship, but they look like they got to that point and then kind of have stalled a little bit with the development. And it's weird because they still won races last year. Like, again, they still won races and Aprilia still haven't. But something makes you feel a little bit less confident with what they've got than what Aprilia's got.
Aprilia's made big steps forward. It looks like it. It looks like there's so much more going on over there. And they also need a satellite team. You said it earlier as well. You need the smaller teams need to at least have one satellite team for something to work for them.
And I think that's where KTM has done all the right things, I think, except produce the actual bike to be consistent enough, to be quick enough at enough circuits. And they obviously had issues with the way the direction that the Michelin went with the tires and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you've got to be able to work around it. Other teams have been able to work around it. So, yeah, I mean, it's a shame because they've got four of the most promising riders on the grid, like without question, but they can't seem to give them a strong enough package at the moment to be able to impress anyone.
But for the most part, I think we actually have one of the, if not the strongest MotoGP roster or field of riders that I've actually ever seen, you know, in terms of competitiveness, where victories can come from. I say that obviously excluding, you know, the rookie guys, your Mooney VR46 bike. The bike looks great.
Do you like it?
No. It feels like they're like, listen, what should we do with this bike? I don't know. Just make it
gray. Throw, and just put a stripe on it.
Yeah. Give Rossi neon yellow colors. Just throw that on there. And what contrast with that? Great. Cool. Do it.
It's
whatever.
A funny one,
whatever.
Wasn't it? That one and the Yamaha team, they just look like a black bike with stickers on them.
That's okay. Because that's more of the same, isn't it?
Isn't yeah, I don't that, know. It's, I just like them to look a bit more like race bikes.
I ride a Yamaha every day, and my bike looks sexy. I don't get it because Yamaha's actual real colors is actually a yellow, white, and black. I don't know if you know that.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's actually their real thing, but. You want to see the blue Yamahas. I have a blue Yamaha. Just by the by. Thank you for asking, Rob. you want to see it have that. It must look like a fast blue. You know what I mean? You want something that glistens and underneath the spotlights instead
like
of
the
like
blue
that,
on the Pramac bikes.
Oh, dude, I don't like the Pramac bikes. I don't like the way they look. I'm going to say I never thought I'd like a pastel-colored bike as much as I like the Gresini bike.
Oh, no. See, for me, when I watched Moto2 practice today, the Gresini bikes in Moto2 look fantastic. But I don't know what it is with the – I think it's the red. I don't think it works with it. But the Moto2 bikes don't have the red on it, and they look awesome.
Okay. But I like the Gresini one. I think the Pramac almost feels like it looks like last season's bike. It feels like it always looks exactly the same.
No, I just think like the red and the blue really pop on it. I don't know what it is. I really like it.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. This is why we're. But at least what the one thing we can agree on is there's been significant changes at Honda, and the Honda bike looks good. The Repsol colors always look good.
Yeah, it looks great this year.
Pretty sure if you just see two Hondas riding down the road, and they're exactly the same bike, but one of them has the Repsol fairings on it. That one's faster. Why? Because there's Repsol on the side, obviously.
All the Hondas look good as well. Again, the Castrol colors are always going to look good on a bike, and then the Nakagami bike looks sensational. Yeah, it looks awesome.
I must be honest, I'm less of a fan of the Castrol colors, but I do like the Nakagami bike though. That is it. The Suzuki's, they also look good. I mean, and it's so much fun. But the Ducatis, apart from that front winglet thing that they've got going on there, apart from that, a full red Ducati is always the best looking.
It's a tough
Ducati.
Looking bike, that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It looks awesome.
I know you've got to duck out soon, so I'm going to press you now.
Yeah.
Two things. One is promise me one thing. I know you said to your fans on YouTube that you weren't going to change your team. I'm asking you, Rob, if you want to do better this season, you said it in your show as well. You know, there's some guys that know what to do in fantasy. The only thing that we've done differently to you is we've waited. We have just waited till the end before we make decisions. Promise me you will at least consider changing your team before quali.
I'm going to think about this year, maybe doing because I do want to do it all on YouTube for everyone. So if I do make changes, like I'm going to try and do maybe a short and release a short on YouTube to maybe show some changes.
Okay.
But yeah, I might try and do that in the morning.
Okay.
But no guarantees.
I would love a race review from you. I would do it. I just don't have the time. I mean, I've got my daughter's arriving within the next week and a half. So she's meeting Planet Earth in the next week and a half. So that's
congratulations.
Happening. Thanks, man. I'm really good at these things. I get the job done really quickly. The problem is now, I've now stopped the football shows because of obviously I've got a 2-year-old as well, work commitments, everything, but I'm committing to the MotoGP for this season. I haven't quite decided if I'm going to do Formula One, cause that also again requires time, and I don't want to short sell anybody on, information. I don't want to read something like one article or listen to one video or somebody's opinion and then come out and blurt it if it's my own, if I haven't formulated something decently. So MotoGP is my main focus for this year, for this season. What I would love from you, just so that I can obviously pick your brain afterwards before we always start the next thing, is please, Rob, I think the world wants it, a race review from you at the end of every race.
We'll see if I might be able to find the time to do them. But it was hard to keep up with the pace when you get the sort of back to back rounds. But we'll see what I can do.
Yeah, but if you're recording directly afterwards, I mean, let's say you've had a few refreshments along the way. Hey, more power to you. You're
just likely to be the case.
Which I support that. It makes sense to me. The thing is, you bring. Like I say, there is that thing about your videos where you bring in the humor. I must be honest, I love the humor. So you bring that in there. And I think if you do that, man, I'm pretty sure if anyone in this world is looking for MotoGP content, like I have said before, you're the guy. And to catch your after race thoughts with your power rankings, dude, tell you what, man, everyone's going to tune in for that. If I had the time, I would actually do a show, post race. To talk about race review. Anyway, Rob, listen, back to predictions. Give me your top three, starting at, actually, give me your top five starting at number, hey, any way you want to do it.
I'll go winner, Marquez.
Good man.
I'm going to go Rins.
My WhatsApp team is looking good. I couldn't get Alex Rins and Mir in unless I wanted to change Honda. But anyway, carry on.
And I'm going to go Morbidelli and Miller.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going Marc Marquez because I believe. I'm going Alex Rins. And I think I really think the top four is apart from that. Now the next three positions. I'm not entirely sure how it's going to pan out, but I'm pretty sure Morbidelli's in there. I'm pretty sure Mira is in there. So we've agreed on all of those things. But Jorge Martin, I think he is still, I think there is something about him that I think he wants it more. I think he has the same Marquez eyes when he speaks. There is a desire there. The
determination.
Yeah. What is his nickname? The Martinator. It's one of the worst nicknames I've ever heard, but it is so good. It's terribly good. It's terribly good. The Martinator. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But yes, I think that's going to be, my top five. Listen, you must have yourself a beautiful race weekend. I will catch you on the other side of it, whether we talk online or whether it's just dropping a message saying like, did you boost Marc Marquez? Why didn't you? Don't boost on the first race. Please don't boost on the first race. We're going to
Or if I boost at all, it usually doesn't work out for the rider. Okay. So I won't jinx the first race for anyone.
Let me give you two boosts right now, right off the bat. Sachsenring, Marc Marquez.
Yep.
Cota, Marc Marquez. Yep. You just got to find the third one somewhere else. Third one somewhere else, and they'll take it from there. But I would not – those would probably be the two that is almost guaranteed. Rob, thank you so much for joining us for the show. Good luck for the weekend.
Thank you for having me again.
Catch you on the other side. Cheers.
See you, mate.